This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Over the past few years, esports has risen in popularity, but what is esports? So staff writer and esports analyst at .esports.com, Aaron Mikunis, is going to join us to talk about esports and some of the games that are being played. Thanks so much for joining me, Aaron.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Could you explain what exactly esports is? Because I feel like that's a big word. It's a loaded word, right?
It is loaded, in my opinion. And it seems like everyone has like a very unique opinion on this. But in my opinion, esports is just the sexy term for competitive video gaming, because that's really all it is. Players, professional players, playing video games to entertain people. That's what it boils down to.
When you say video games, are you talking about console or PC?
Honestly, either. It seems like most of the more popular esports are PC games at the moment, with League of Legends and Dota and Counter-Strike, but the fighting game community for like old Mario fighting games and Street Fighter and stuff like that, that's all console dominated. So it just depends on what game you're playing.
So the biggest ones right now are like MOBAs, right?
There are some exceptions. Over the past few years, as the esports scene has been growing, it seems like MOBAs have kind of led the charge. But this year in particular, there's the Overwatch League that's starting, which is the new Blizzard-owned esport for Overwatch, which is a shooter. So there's room for all types of games at the top right now.
Oh, could you tell me about Overwatch? Because that's pretty new, right? Like within this month.
The Overwatch League is new. The game itself has been around for about a year and a half, and there have been some unofficial professional leagues for it. Just this month, Blizzard, which is the company that created Overwatch and runs the game, they started their own official esports league called the Overwatch League, and it's a very big deal. The production value is really excellent, it's down based in LA right now, temporarily. But the end game is that each team is basically they all hail from their own city around the world, and all the games will travel with them around the United States and Korea and China, eventually. But right now, as the league grows, they're keeping it in Los Angeles.
I'm a little curious, you know, since it's Blizzard, what about World of Warcraft? Like, wasn't Arenas a really big deal, or it never got as big as Overwatch is?
Arena was a big deal when esports as an industry wasn't that big of a deal. And by now, because of where esports are now, World of Warcraft as a game isn't as important, so naturally Arena hasn't been one of the like flagship esports in the industry. People still play it, and there is still a league that Blizzard runs for it. They even have their own Mythic Dungeon esports league now for World of Warcraft. So like, there's definitely still an audience there. It's just not quite as large as the big guys like Dota, Counter-Strike, League of Legends, and Overwatch.
What about StarCraft? I remember that was like a big deal for Korea and China, but it's just nowhere else.
StarCraft was a pretty big deal too. But yeah, it was definitely more popular in the East, especially in Korea. And there are still StarCraft teams, just like there are for World of Warcraft. But it's certainly, I don't want to label it as dying, but it's much slower and not quite as popular anymore as those big games.
You know, I'm glad you talked about the dying portion, because when it comes to esports, sure, how long does it take a game to start whittling out, like dying, I guess?
That's an interesting question to answer, only because you can't really actually say, because up until the last couple of years, games would have sequels. And that was kind of how the video game industry ran. You know, there's Call of Duty sequels. There were Counter-Strike sequels, and then the big expansions for games like World of Warcraft and stuff like that. But nowadays, it's all about just updating what you already have. And we've seen, like, League of Legends has been around since 2009. So we're going on 9 years, and it's still very, very popular. Counter-Strike Global Offensive has been around for a long time, and that's been continually updated, and that's still very popular. I imagine Overwatch will be treated the same way. It's hard to say when I think a game will die, just because it seems like all the precedents for that don't really matter anymore. I don't know. I don't think there will ever be a League of Legends 2 or anything like that to replace it, and I can't say when the MOBA industry will die either. So, yeah, it's just incredibly difficult to try to guess.
When it comes to League of Legends, you think that the reason it's doing so well is because it's constantly updated. Do they ever, like, sit there and say, like, man, this champion is too OP, we just got to get rid of him altogether?
I'll answer that in two parts. The success of League of Legends, I think at least a significant portion of it is because they continually update the game. They fix what's broken, certainly, and that helps. And less directly, it keeps things fresh and interesting. As they nerf or buff what needs fix, the meta around the game, like what's strong and what teams are going to play, changes. And it feels like it's a completely new game almost every year, despite being the same game. So that's the answer to the first question. To the second question, no, they don't ever delete champions. They will completely redesign a champion pretty much from the ground up. And the only thing similar will be the name of the champion when it comes out the other side, but they never actually just remove one from the game.
I think a Galio. I think I pronounced his name correctly.
Close. Galio.
Galio. There you go. Okay, so Galio. Yep. He was my first champion I ever played, and I played him absolutely wrong. I think I took him top lane, and this was before the revamp.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah, it was horrible. I got Rickrolled really bad. But I really liked that champion. And seeing the rework, it was brand new. It was a new voice actor,
yeah,
a new
totally
look. And it felt like they kind of deleted the old character. But I get what you're saying. Like, the revamp is kind of different from deleting it altogether.
Yeah, it's basically same name. The champion has the same name. They're both Galio. And they're both made of stone and have wings. But that's pretty much where the similarities end. I guess in a sense they do sometimes delete champions, but it's not like a traditional. They don't just pull them out of the game. It's always that they just kind of get reformatted.
Now there's one champion, because I played top lane mostly. It was Renekton.
Sure.
And Renekton was supposed to get a rework, and they kind of did like a little soft patch, and they're like, whoa, they didn't like where it was going, and they ended up, like, reverting it back. Like, are they ever going to fix Renekton or, like, change him up?
I think I know what you're talking about. That was back when they changed how his abilities queued up behind one another.
Yeah.
So that he could create different combos. I don't know if they'll ever try that again. And when I say they, I mean Riot, just in case that wasn't clear. I'm not sure if that will ever be attempted again. But as a champion, Renekton isn't in a terrible state. He's fairly healthy, in my opinion, so I don't really think he needs some dramatic work like on that scale right now. There are certainly champions with a higher priority, like the next one coming out, I believe, is Swain, and then Irelia will be shortly after. And I imagine Mordekaiser, they'll look at him at some point, but Renekton feels like he has very clear strengths and weaknesses. He's fun to play. His identity feels a little weak, and that's always an issue, because he's this giant demigod alligator, and he doesn't feel like a giant demigod. Like, how do you make a playable champion feel like you're playing an alligator, right? he just kind of feels like a guy with a big curvy sword, and that's pretty much all his kit revolves around. But other than that, I do think he's in a pretty good spot, so I don't see them ever. Well, not ever, but I don't see them reworking him within the next year or two.
Yeah, that's true. He's not bad. I like his utility. He can go through walls with his little death roll, call it, and his little alligator roll. I love it. And that's one of the things I like to do with him, is just zip around and really annoy people. But for Mordekaiser, they're going to do something to him. What are they going to do upcoming for that guy?
So that was a guess. The only ones that I know they're reworking are Irelia and Swain. I'm only guessing Mordekaiser, because they tend to only completely re-update champions that are in very, very dire need, that are very outdated, their identity is weak, their abilities are really wonky, and that list of champions is dwindling. Mordekaiser is definitely near the top of it, if not at the very top. He has so many problems that I imagine if there are going to be more larger scale updates this year that he'll be one of them. As for what I think they would do to him, I think the most important part would be a visual update because he still looks like he was created in 2009. He has the big pizza feet, which I'm not sure why they've survived on him. But like his newest skin got rid of them, so like Riot clearly knows that the feet need the old clunky feet need to go away. So I think it's only a matter of time for his visuals. And then his abilities are very strange. They only have very certain use cases, and he's supposed to be a juggernaut, yet he doesn't play or feel like any of the other juggernauts in the game, like Darius or Garen. I can't say for certain that he'll be updated, but I imagine he's pretty high up on the priority list.
I used to play Mordekaiser very, very long time ago, so I can't remember if it was his W or E or which one it was, but it's the one that's his scales on the every hit, and you only get 3 hits out of it, and that's basically yep. all you do with him is you let that thing proc, and it's like 1, 2, 3, and they're dead. But besides that, everything else is, you're right, it's just horrible. His speed, though, he really needs to, he's like walking in molasses, the poor guy, no matter what you put on him.
Oh, yeah.
And since they changed the runes, I used to stack like movement speed for him. And now, because you don't have that, I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, he definitely has some issues. You can run the Phase Rush rune for a little help there, but it definitely, in my opinion, isn't enough. He's in dire need of help all around. Just everything needs a second look for him.
One champion that I don't play mid lane, but I'm always interested in Malzahar, and I think I said that right. With Malzahar, they keep hitting him with the Nerf Bat every single time. Like, oh, we don't want him as support, so they whack him a couple times with the Nerf Bat, and then they take him back mid, and he's still pretty dominating as a champion, and I hear they're going to nerf him again. Why is that?
They sure are. Malzahar, when he was moved back from support to mid lane, this is going to sound a little harsh, but he's kind of the noob champion for mid laners. Like, if you get auto-filled to mid lane, he's a pretty good champion to play just because there isn't a lot going on for his kit. You pretty much just apply Malefic Visions whenever someone's in range, spam summon your Voidlings and hit people with Silence, and then whenever you get the chance, just hit Alt on somebody, and they stop moving long enough for your team to kill them or for your Alt to kill them. Like, he doesn't have mobility, he's not very flashy. And the issue is that for being that easy, he's way too effective. He deals too much damage, and he's way too strong for having barely ever any effort, like, put into playing him. So the nerfs that are coming will reduce the damage that his Malefic Visions deal, which is his primary damage source, and I believe the cooldown on his Silence. I may be mistaken on that, but I'm almost positive that's what's coming. And I think those are decent nerfs. But the reason he gets moved around so much is I think a lot of it is community-based reactions. People really did not like that he lost his mid lane pretty much completely in favor of playing as a support. When he was moved back to mid, those that liked playing as support completely lost that role for him. And now that he's in mid lane, he's just terrorizing everybody, and that's made a lot of people angry. So I think the nerfs are justified, but we'll see if they end up being too much, because they very well might end up being a little too much, a little too much overkill, especially for the players that enjoy playing him. So I think that'll be in the next patch, which will be next week.
Yeah, I'm a little worried because, you know, I think of, like, if they nerf him too much, he's going to end up like Mordekaiser. Just looking at him like, oh, you know, he used to be good.
Mordekaiser was never really that.
He was okay. I mean, the whole concept of using his health for like his moves, and he gets a shield for it. It was a lot of, like, you had to figure out when was an appropriate time to proc certain things. And now it's just like, ugh. it's disgusting. I can't touch him, and it's like a one trick pony.
Yeah, I don't think malware will ever be that bad because I think a lot of Mordekaiser's problems are design problems. At least for right now, they're just tweaking numbers on Malzahar. They're not actually changing how his abilities function or runes or anything that he uses. So I don't see it ever happening. I don't see another Mordekaiser spawning out of this incident. I think he'll definitely be weaker.
You know, with League of Legends has their own championship league series. Do the pros ever affect how the game changes too, or is it just more of the community in a whole?
A lot of times, balance changes will only come about because of how a pro plays them, or various pros play them. Typically, the balance team just kind of feels it out for themselves, as far as I understand, and they make their decisions independently based on like player feedback and what they've witnessed. But certainly, balance does come about because of how strong or weak a champion is on the pro stage. I couldn't tell you for sure whether I think that's like a 50-50 thing where they're influenced about evenly by pro play as they are from regular play. But I would definitely say that they're significantly influenced by how champions are performing on the pro stage.
When it comes to the championship series, like how many teams are there? Are there like maybe 12, 15?
In North America specifically, there are 10. And that's actually interesting because this year in the NALCS, which is that championship series that you mentioned, they have franchised, which is more or less the same as the team structure that like the NBA has or the NFL, where the teams will always be there. They have no chance of getting kicked out of the league, which opens the door for more sponsors and stuff because there's less risk involved. It's great financially, and some people were worried that the 10 teams, because there were 10 teams before all this happened, and some people were worried that with only 10 teams after, it might stagnate a little bit. Still 10 teams, even though the franchising has begun, and may add more teams in the future, but it will take probably at least a year kind of feeling out how this league is going to work, because it very well could end up just working out perfectly with 10 teams. And then nothing will need to happen. No change will have to fix anything. So there are only 10 teams, but I wouldn't rule out that will change within the next couple.
I vaguely remember an article saying that it would be like $1 million to be able to jump into the, if you wanted to do like an 11th team. Like, is that how much it is, or was it less or more?
It was a lot of money. I'll say that it was about that much. I think what you said, 11 million, right?
No, I said I thought it was 10 million, or was it one? It was astronomical. It was a bit inane, right?
It was a lot. Yeah. The Overwatch League, to get into that was about 20 million. Which is to think about a video game team having to pay that amount of money just to get into a league. Times are changing for sure. It was about 10 million for the LCS league to get into the franchise league, and it was, I think, 5 million up front, and then the rest over time afterwards. So it wasn't like you needed to pay 10 million all at once. 5 million is still like a ton,
yeah, right?
Compared to where we've been the last few years in the industry, but. It's not quite as bad as it sounds, is all I'm saying. But yeah, it's about total. It comes out to about $10 million a slot, from what I understand.
Jeez, that is, you know, I think of like when I first started looking at or watching competitive esports, I was watching from the fighting game community. So it was always like, you know, Joe Blow could sign up. It doesn't even matter. You didn't have to be sponsored or part of a team. You just paid for your entry fee and bam, you know, I'm in the esports league. And then you go on the other side of things too, like League of Legends or Dota. And it's like, oh, you need about 5 million to be able to play. And it's like, whoa, what? like to be on the pro league of it.
Times are changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, things are growing up, it feels, right? I'm excited about it.
The harsh reality of it is that there are less players that way. You have several NBA teams, that are either affiliated with or own a team, and there's a lot more money circulating in the industry. For about the same chance of going pro, like if, for making it big, there is a much larger payout if you actually do make it up there, because there's minimum player salaries, so you're still going to be making a good chunk of money even if your team doesn't win anything with all these larger sponsors and all that. So it was necessary, in my opinion, for the industry to grow and become a mainstream form of entertainment. It needed more competition, and to get more competition, you needed financial security and rewards, basically.
When it comes to the league teams, do they get paid salary, or is it like whoever wins, they win the pot?
Depends on the region, but League of Legends teams have always been known, I'm going to compare it to Dota, just for to have a point of reference. League of Legends teams have always been known to get paid more just for playing, and therefore the pot, like you mentioned, has been significantly smaller than for games like Dota, where you basically need to win or you don't get any money.
Mm.
But the International 7 prize pool is, I think it was over 10 times the size of the World Championship prize pool for League of Legends this year. So, I mean, there's a lot, you get a lot more for that big cash out if you win everything, but there's obviously way less security in it.
You know, I know that season 8 is coming out soon. Does that affect like the championship series? Like if the series is like started, do they go by the old season, or do they just get inundated with the new patch immediately?
So season wise, the pro seasons always line up with the games seasons. So they'll always start out at the beginning of season 8. We'll use as an example. So with the runes, the new runes, and all the champion changes that came over the course of the last like 2 months during the preseason, all will be in effect for the beginning of the pro seasons. Only I think a couple regions have actually started playing, the LPL, LCK. Maybe the LMS, I'm not 100% sure on that one. But those regions have started already, and they're using, but patch-wise, like patch to patch throughout the season, a patch will come out and the pros will still play on the previous patch for another 2 weeks before they switch over to the new one. So they're always like kind of a couple weeks behind, just so that they don't have to change around as much. This year, actually, Riot is trying something new where they only release really big stuff, really big changes, every other patch, so that pros have more time to adapt to a meta and play within that meta before it changes again. It's an attempt basically just to make the whole thing a little healthier for the pros. We don't know if it'll work yet because it hasn't basically gone into effect yet because the pro season's just starting for North America this week, but as the next couple months roll by, we should start to get an idea whether or not that's actually helping or not.
Besides like people getting buffed and nerfed this season, can we look out for any like new skins that are coming out or anything cool like that?
Oh yeah, there's always pretty cool skins pretty much every year. We have, very shortly, we're going to have the new Lunar Rebel skins coming out, which are the skins based on the Chinese New Year. So this year, it's the year of the dog, so the two dog champions in the game, Nasus and Warwick, are getting really cool skins, and then there's another skin coming out for the same set for Lux, who doesn't really have anything to do with dogs, but it still looks really cool. and then there's the Valentine's Day skins that are coming out, and I imagine later in the year we'll get the same Star Guardian and Dark Star skins and all those, I assume. There's always really cool skins that come out regardless what season it is. What we might get a little different, though, compared to last year, is last year Riot really amped up their efforts to update old things. And when I say old things, I mean pretty much everything. Old champions, certain aspects of the map, stuff like that, abilities, even some voiceovers were updated. And so there were less new champions than usual. I think we only had 4 new champions total, five, because Zoe came out at the end. Yeah, 5. And typically there's more than that, but there's far less updates. I think now that there have been so many updates that came out in 2017 that it might even out a little better this year, where there'll be a couple more new champions, but less, slightly less of the big updates. So I would put my money on that happening.
Thanks, Aaron, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find you at?
So the website that I'm the an analyst and staff writer for is .esports, .esports.com. That's where all my content is, basically. I do very little freelance work for other because I like .dot a lot, and they let me write about all kinds of stuff, even about other games other outside of League of Legends, even though League is my beat. All of my stuff is there, and I have an author page where you can read every single story that I write. And I write about 4 to 5 articles a day, so there's tons of stuff. And then I'm also on Twitter, at Aaron McCunis, so it's just my first and last name. And, yeah, that's about it.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.